Blog Talk Radio.
Like this, I say,
Lord, speak it for me. Anybody know that only God can do it? Oh, speak it for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve.
Y'all play that for me?
I'm going to tell you, he will do it. And if he won't do it, it just won't be done. But he will do it.
Because
guarantee you he'll do it.
Nobody's stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. Look, I thought it was time. But ain't no time. The enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. Don't step in and make it all right. Only do it if you said you would. Fight your battles for your day, gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it if you will. If anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed. How it turned out, it's only a phase. To lose it again, I'm about to let them know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Get your whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses. Cause there's always my time. Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gonna get mine.
Because you ask not. Hallelujah. I know you'll do it. We ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. But the first part of that song, it said, Lord, do it for me. Then she answered the second part, he will do it. We ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer, and we're going to get into this lesson today. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for both of those selections, Pastor. Amen. Amen. A scripture I'd like to share coming from Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're just thanking you for this day, Father God. Thank you for the Psalms, Father God, that had the message in it. The Lord will do it. He'll do it for us if we put our trust in him. And then, affirmation, he will do it. So, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to lean and depend on you, realizing that all of our help, all of our strength comes from the Lord. Father God, bless each and every one. Bless our pastor as he teaches the word today, Father God. And bless us to receive the word. Bless those who have called in, those who are listening by internet, Father God, and those who will participate. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, Father God. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, be with all those who ask us keep them in prayer. You know their hearts. You know what they do. You're a way maker out of no way. Be with the sick and the shut in, Father God. Be with those who are bereaved, Father God. And Lord, help us to be that light to shine, to bring others to Christ, Father God. Letting them know that, yes, they are a child of God. And whatever happened in the past, God forgives them and that they can move on and grow stronger in the Lord, Father God. And we're thankful that the word at noon is available for anyone that wants to learn more about the Lord and surrender their life to you. Father God, bless, Father God. Our pastor, use him mightily, Holy Ghost, and we find that anything and everything that may come up against any of us, our pastor, those that are listening by internet, those that called in, and myself, we find that anything that's not like you right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let your word go forth. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brother and sister, I'm excited, man. I'm excited about this word today. I have a couple things I want to share. I want to talk about the law, but it's kind of hard for me to discuss the law without grace, because that's where we're living at now, is under grace. But you need to know about the law, because we're talking about things that people are blind of. They're blind about the truth, God's truth. Blind about God's truth when it comes to the law of the law and grace. So we want to start discussing that. We want to discuss that. And we're going to use for a foundational scripture is in Galatians 3:13-14. Now, there's going to be a lot of things we're going to discuss about the law and about grace. But I'm going to say this about grace, and then we'll get into that, because the teaching of grace is seldom approached in most Bible studies. They don't really want to talk about it. It has become an accepted fact that from the pulpit, know what grace means. But most folks just assume, and y'all didn't know what assume means, okay? You know what assume means. So, but most people assume that they know what grace means and do not need it to be explained, pretty much. But they overlook the most important of this subject is to overlook the true character of God. They're blind to it. They're blind to who God is, because when you teach this, and you don't want to teach it because you just assume people know, no, that's not right. You need to know, because that is who God is. God is grace. Preach, preacher. See, I'm already preaching. Y'all ain't heard it yet. But I'm telling you, God is grace.
Yes.
He is that favor. And, but we're going to talk about the law, okay? Because the word grace, it means gracious. Even though it appears over 200 times, and we'll get into grace, but I want to cover some of this law stuff first. But it's kind of hard for me, not everybody, it's kind of hard for me to talk about the law without talking about the grace. Because, see, I understand why we have the law. I know why we got it. But it wasn't to save us. Wasn't even to bring us to God.
All right.
As you will learn, it wasn't nothing but a schoolmaster. It was a schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm.
It brought us to Christ. And from that, going forth, and I'm telling you what the Word of God said, not what I say or feel. It was to get us to a place that we know that we need Christ. That's what the law was for. To govern us.
Yeah.
Get us and but the law it can be changed, as you all see.
Mm-hmm.
Laws are for that purpose. So but I want to start I want to start by saying that, and if I don't get around to it this, the rest of this week or whenever, know that we're going to talk about grace in its entirety, or as close as God said to talk about it. But we're going to talk about law first, okay? So this subject to me is clearly taught in Scripture, but yet it is one of the most debated and abused subjects in the circle of Christianity or the Christian faith, and some argue that sin should abound. Why? So that grace can more abound. This is usually the argument because people do not know Scripture. Then there are those who live under legalism, which is another word or another way of saying that their interpretation of the law, okay? But both groups are in error because they're blind to God's truth. The Bible clearly teaches us about the age in which we live in, and that is the age of grace. See, that's why I said it's hard for me to talk about the law without talking about grace. And the age of the church, so I should put them together, it's the age of grace and church. Because, and I'm talking about Christ's church, not the organized church. That's just an invitation, a protocol, if you would. But and then they ain't got that right. But anyway, it's the age of the grace that we're living in. So when God's word speaks, there is no room for argument. So we're going to get to grace, and we're going to cover as much as the Lord said, and we're going to consider both the law and grace. But what is the difference to this is that the church are missing the fact that we don't live under the law. They're missing the fact that why we have the law, okay? So why was the law given? So what was the purpose of the law? So the scriptures give the answers, okay? So that's what we're going to be dealing with. So let me start by saying this can be our foundational scripture, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 14. 13 and 14. So would you care to read that for us, Evangelist William, please?
Yes, Pastor. Good afternoon, everybody. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen, amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating first life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews, too. We are able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Let me begin by saying that Paul recognized these people, where their mindset was at. And I know everybody going to have something to say about this. But Paul called them fools. Yeah. See, I mean, how you start off by calling these fools, these Galatians? He called them foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before those whose eyes, Jesus Christ, have been effectively set forth, crucified among you? He called them crazy. They're crazy.
Amen.
How you allow that craziness to spill over into you? And then another version called them stupid. Stupid people who put you under an evil spell. Who did this to you? Well, wasn't Christ Jesus crucified for you? See, all you got to do is think about it. So did you get saved by the law? Did the law save you? That's number one. That's a number. That's a good question there. No. Can the law heal you? No. Can the law give you eternal life? No. See, that's why Paul was calling them stupid and crazy and how ignorant they were. Going to church, do that save you?
No.
Going to church, will that make you stronger in the Lord?
No.
Absolutely not. You can live up in the church and it ain't going to make you stronger. And doing all these different things, like working on the deacon board, working on the trustee board, working in the choir, being a janitor, over this ministry and over the candy ministry and over all, do that help? Do that give you eternal life? No.
No.
So what good is the law? We're going to answer those questions, okay? Well, why we got it anyway? Okay, so let me tell you, the purpose was never to save anybody. The law was a schoolmaster, according to Galatians 3:24. Let's read that. See, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I want to kind of like break it down in a way so everybody seeing this revelation here.
Yes, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, the law was like those Greek tutors with which you are familiar, who escort children to school and protect them from danger or distraction, making sure the children will really get to the place set out for. Amen.
Amen.
See, so the law was like a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster was a man who teaches the school or teaches how kids should be disciplined, or one that, for the most part, gave direction. It was one who made sure that they didn't get offline, or made sure that they was being coached in the right area, the right way. I like to say educated them to, you need to stay on this path, and here's why. You need to do this, and you need to do that. And that's what it was for, to get us to Christ, bless God.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to talk all this about schoolmaster, but let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. The schoolmaster simply was to bring us to Christ. So in other words, that's what the law had to reveal to man how sinful sin was. Ooh, say that again. How sinful sin was. So the law provided a perfect standard by which man could measure himself morally, and spiritually. So in that the law, you understand, which could be measured only by God's word. So in this law, there was a word called schoolmaster. It was a Greek word anyway. It was a child leader. All these children had schoolmasters, and they referred to them as their slaves in whose charge, who was in charge of their children, pretty much. In other words, make a long story short, they were the schoolmaster was responsible to see that the children were taken to school and to be taught. That's what the schoolmaster was. They were to take them to school and make sure they be taught. And I heard that one time the schoolmaster would enter in the child there. Every one of them had schoolmaster, individuals. And once they got there, they would stay there outside waiting on that child to be taught. And once that child had been taught, the schoolmaster's job was over. That was their responsibility, to see that the children were taken to school and they be taught. So Paul's used this because this is something they was familiar with.
This is something
They know a child needed a leader. They knew that. To deliver us to the master teacher, which is Jesus Christ, we might be used and we may be able to be served. We may be able to learn. Get there first. See, the schoolmaster himself didn't teach her. I know a lot of people think he did, but he didn't. He led them to the teacher. So after we have been delivered to the teacher, there is no really any need for that leader, because he did his job. So when I read verses 25, and you can read that if you will, so you get a better understanding.
Galatians 3:25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. But now you have arrived at your destination by faith in Christ. You are in direct relationship with God. Amen.
Now let me mess up some people right quick. Then, if I'm understanding this right, I don't need the schoolmaster anymore.
Amen.
That's what I heard, Pastor. Please tell me that's what I heard.
Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor.
I need to know y'all. That's what I heard. Did I hear them say,
yes,
but? Yeah, that's why I like that.
Yes.
Yes.
But now, you have arrived at your destination by faith in
but
Christ.
After that faith came. You no longer is under the schoolmaster. You don't need the schoolmaster anymore.
Amen.
In other words, you don't need that law. That law did its job. It was to get you to Christ, bless God. So what it was for?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
It was to get you by faith in Christ Jesus. So why you still go to church? That's what the law was requiring you to do. Why you paying tithes? That's what the law required you to do. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. Why is you still going up to the building? That was required of the law. And then you were to bring your sacrifice to the building. Why are you still doing that?
Blind to the truth.
We don't need the schoolmaster anymore. We don't need that law anymore. That was the law. The law was like the schoolmaster. That's the illustration he given here. The law was like the schoolmaster. I hope you can see this. I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you. The law was the schoolmaster. That's what the law was. Yeah. It got you there.
Yes.
See, just like a lot of people think the promise was made to all of us. No, no, you missed it. The promise was in Christ. And we'll learn that.
Amen.
The promise is in Christ, not in Abraham, but more appropriate, it was in Abraham's seed, which was the faith that Abraham had that in God. What, that's the promise talking about. But it wasn't in the law. Yeah. Do you realize it was 430 years later?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
430 years later.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. I'll talk about it tomorrow maybe or another time. But because I want you to know about this amendment, Deb, I want you to know that what was added, why it was added, why is that so important? Why is it clear? But anyway, let me kind of stay on track. But after that, faith is come, and we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law. So why is people practicing that? Well, first of all, I'll tell you, because they're ignorant of God's righteousness and they want to establish their own righteousness. Secondly, it because, like you start off saying in the scripture, they're fools. Fools don't know no better. When you ignorant like that, you don't know no better. You're ignorant to it. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll read this. We're part of it anyway. And y'all get a chance, go read Galatians 3. Probably start from the first verse. We'll read down through some. We'll read a few. But matter of fact, we'll read the first 10 verses today. And it's just awesome, man, when you think about what was going on. When you really get a clear understanding, you won't be blind to what God is doing here. So we won't unpack it all today, but we'll definitely read it. And then because it's a lot in this third chapter dealing with the law. But you can start with the first verse, Galatians 3, 1 through 10.
Yes, Pastor. Galatians 3, 1 through 10. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye not made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you to the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify that hath through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, you crazy Galatians. Are you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your life. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your life you could never do for yourself, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as you happen, just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. It is obvious to you that person who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith. It is all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So those who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine, and that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out detail written in the book law. Amen.
Yeah.
I really want that to soak in for a moment so you can really hear that. Who wants to be cursed?
No one.
I don't.
Not a part, but they're doing that because of the law.
Mm-hmm.
When you're cursed, harm is going to come upon you.
Yes.
Woo, preacher, you shouldn't say, well, it may look like a blessing, but actually, it's a curse.
Amen.
How can something good be a curse? Eat enough candy.
Amen.
eat enough sweet stuff. It's good, but I promise you, at the end of the day, there's a curse there.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they pray, their prayers, a lot of times people pray, and the invocation for harm or injury to come upon somebody. In other words, they praying a harm to come. People take an oath so that, hey, if I don't do what I say, let this happen to me, or let this that happen to my family. I know a lot of people used to make promises and swear a curse could come on me. If I don't do what I say I'm going to do, something evil, something misfortune can happen to me. They put a curse on themselves. Mm. Like a lot of people don't know. Let me say this like this. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Why say all Amen. These curses when you can say blessing? Because, see, you said long enough, you're going to start believing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again, because I think that might not hurt me. You say it long enough, whatever it is, you're going to get it. Because the Bible says you can have what you say. So you keep talking about, get mad. Keep on getting mad. The more you talk about what they did to you and how they did it to you, and you're inflaming that thing. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why a lot of people go and commit suicide. That's why a lot of people do dumb stuff. They spoke curses on them. And see, I'm not talking about using profanity. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using words. Curses start from words. That's what harm people. That's what they're being tormented, and then they speak in that. But just like you speak curses, you can speak blessing.
Amen.
Let me take my time. Because a lot of people don't realize it's almost like affirmation. It's almost like stuff you're saying, and you don't realize you're speaking a harm to yourself. But, I could give you a whole lot of illustration, but why keep speaking negative things when you can speak positive things? Because life and death is in the tongue. So you're going to get an increase in blessings. You're going to get an increase in curses.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you keep on speaking it. And then here's what's going to happen. Boy, my head hurts. Woo, my head hurts. God, that thing hurts. Keep on saying it. And the more you say it, I promise you, the more it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Then you can release positive, or you can release, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. Speak blessings over yourself. And the more you see it, watch it work. But don't sit up and be a doubter before you actually see if it works. See if it works.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, I already know. No, you don't. You don't know. You just know what Satan tells you. That's what you know. Because, see, when you're living in that Satan world, that's the stuff he teaches. Oh, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Because he wants you to doubt the word of God. He always wanted you to doubt God's word. I mean, why say, think about it. Did your parents ever say to you, and they could have been speaking figuratively and not literally, but their words, and words can bring harm to you, or they can be harmful to you. So that's like a curse. That's a curse, man. Curses that are spoken by us, and then you began to repeat these people because it sound good. No, stop it. See, something cursed come into our lives because of the spoken words of a teacher or employer or a doctor or others. See, we come in contact with these curses every day.
Yes, amen.
See, your teachers can make you or break you.
Yeah,
they can make or break a student. Everybody ain't able to get up from their mat once they've been knocked down.
Yeah.
And some students, it depends on the words that were spoken or that they spake. But listen, brothers and sisters, don't let curses flow over your children, your grandchildren. No. And don't let it happen to you. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to start listening closely, brothers and sisters, to everything that comes out of your mouth. You don't realize you're spitting that it's almost like I'm going to call it vomit over people's lives and don't realize it. Blaspheming over people's lives and don't realize it. Do you remember anybody ever said to you, you bad, you're never going to amount to anything, you are worthless, you will never be successful, you'll never succeed at anything, you will never be good. See, everybody can't overcome that kind of talk. Some people take that and it'll be fuel for them, but others won't.
Mm-hmm.
But if so, you need to forgive that person, even if it was your parent or person that was in authority or whatever. Go and forgive them. And then break that curse and say, I am what the Word of God say I am. I can do what the Word of God say I can do.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes people say words, and it may not seem like it's harmful. But listen, brothers and sisters, those are curses. And it is harmful. Oh, you always say that. No, I don't always say that. You might say I always. See, I've seen people with their mates and how they do. Oh, I can't never say do nothing to please you. Don't say stuff like that. That's the enemy talking. They did something to please you. You with them, aren't you?
Amen.
You ain't never happy. Wait a minute. At some point in time, they were happy. So don't see, that's his enemy talk. He wants you to get into that way of talking, because if so, you're going to get a rebellion. You're going to get somebody going to come in behind that kind of. And so right there, he done planted a seed. Oh, I know I'm right now. And I do have paper.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28. See, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death. So just like you speak life, you can speak death. You got power. Power in your words. So you have to be careful how you use that. You have to be careful how you point that gun.
Yeah,
careful. And then sometimes we have to, we need a schoolmaster to take us so we can be taught. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell y'all this. My second son, what, he had some deficiency, but I ain't going to get into that. But boy, he tried anything. I never forget the time he grabbed that gun I had, shotgun, and he could aim that thing. Boy, and I'm going to tell you, he could hit a bullseye from 25 yards. Hit it dead right. 25 yards. But he was only like about 12, 13. He wasn't ready. He hadn't really developed mentally yet for that. There was a lot of power there. It don't take a whole lot to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. You take a 22 and kill them. So he wanted to go downtown with the fellas with the gun. They was going to go somewhere. I said, no. Because I can't trust you yet. Can't trust you yet. I mean, he could shoot now. Don't get me wrong. But he hadn't become mature enough to be alone yet.
Okay.
It may hurt somebody. So you got a lot of Christians hadn't matured enough yet. They just go out and they'll say anything, any kind of way, and not knowing how damaging that is or how harmful that is. And I told somebody this the other day, if you're a married woman, you need to be around married people. You need to be around married women. Then they'll talk your conversation. Because I'm going to tell you, the words that single women use, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be around them. Because you'll take that, those words and take them back home. And when you see your husband, you won't see him as a husband. You'll see him, whatever the beauty shop talked about, those single women was in there, single ladies was talking about, you already got a ring on it. They don't need to put no ring on. You already got a ring on it.
Amen.
See, they got a whole Amen. Different conversation. And it goes for men, too. If you're a single man, you don't need to really hang around. Unless you plan on getting married, that's why you need to hang around married men. But if you're married, you don't need to hang around single men. You don't need that. Because you know they Amen. Talk. So words Amen. Have a lot of power, brother and sister. So yeah. don't hurt. You know, be careful. And we'll get into that later. But I'm going to tell you, words can be great. They can be real harmful. A lot of relationships. See, a lot of people think just cursing means in prayer or what. No, just in everyday conversation. You have to be articulate with your words.
Yeah. Amen.
Your words Amen. Need to be seasoned. They need to be seasoned with what you say mm-hmm. and how you say. Not only what you say, but how you say. What you say. You can be a blessing or you can be a curse. Why not be a blessing?
Yeah.
You don't have to. So you don't have to win every battle. You can button it up. You don't have to prove everything.
Yes.
Discipline.
Yeah.
Where the Holy Ghost come in, I guess. It teaches you. You know what? Yeah. Let me not say that now because that can be real damaging here. You may not think it mean anything. But see, you ain't on the other side of that arrow. You ain't on the other side of that bullet. Big difference between the person that's shooting it and the person that's receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
All right. All right.
Yes.
Big difference. See, because to you it don't mean anything. But it's, you know, to you, you know, it's not really a hex. It's not really a... mojo. It's not really foolish talking. It's everyday conversation. But when you are representing Christ, you don't know who's listening to you. You don't know the impact Amen. That you're going to have on people. And a lot of times people are blind to God's truth. That's why I said let your conversation be yeah, yeah, and nay, nay. Just shut your mouth. Every day in court. Mm-hmm. They tell you every day. Even when the police stop you, they'll tell you what you say, what comes out of your mouth.
And
will be used against you. That's how dangerous words are, people. Real harmful. You can condemn yourself by your words, by the stuff you say. You're speaking curses and don't know it. See, that's what's so hurting. People are speaking curses and they don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know, curses anybody. So these curses, it's a whole list of stuff.
Amen.
But if you curse with a curse, that's bad. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, he took all the curses. The Bible says curses anybody who hang on the tree. So everything you ever cursed or been cursed, Christ taking it for you. And then he give you his blessing. So I say walk in them blessings. Don't just not have it in knowledge. No, that's something you got to walk in on a day-to-day basis. You have
yeah.
that knowledge.
Yeah.
You have that wisdom. Now, the Bible says, because, see, that's what That's what the law did. The purpose of the law was to bring you knowledge. Paul said the law was given that men might know what sin is. For by the law, it is the knowledge of sin in Romans 3:20. So Paul said, I've not known sin. But the law said it was sin over there. I think the law told him it was sin in Romans 7:7. It was the law told him that. See, the law declared the world guilty before God. So the law was given to stop mouths. Well, here's what the law say. We're dealing with some stuff in America right now. What does the law say? Does the law say it's your duty or not? If the law says it's your duty, then you're right. But if the law don't say it's your duty, then you're in error.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about the laws, you know. When you working, brothers and sisters, the law say you can take a break every within 4 hours. You got to take a lunch, but within the first 4 hours, you can take a 15-minute break. That's the law of Georgia. Now, I don't know what it is in California, Cleveland, all these other, but in Georgia, you're required to take a 15-minute break within 4 hours, and then 4 hours and beyond, you're allowed to take a 30-minute lunch. But that's the law.
Amen.
That's what governs you. That's what's going to guide you. So if you decided that, now I just took a break at 9:15, but boy, shucks, I came to work at 8. I just took a break at 9:15, but I want to take lunch at 10. So you can get fired.
Yes.
Amen.
You can get fired because it ain't been 4 hours yet. So that's what the law, it guides you. It tells you when a person's in order, and not in order. But that's what it does. It's like the schoolmaster. It takes you to school.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to leave it there. And maybe the law was given to stop people's mouths. See, and let me read this. Over in Romans 3, I'll let you guys read. In Romans 3:19. So, you know, I said that, so I need to have some receipts. So I'm going to back it up, and if anybody has anything to say, they can say that after that. Romans 3:19.
Yes, Pastor, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. Verse 19. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everybody else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our and everyone else's sin. Have mercy.
Amen.
So the law was designed to stop the mouth. So people don't have, there's no question, there's no debate, whatever. That ends the conversation. So anybody have any comments, anything they want to share? Hallelujah.
Yes, Pastor. I had found that one scripture in Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Which says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And from the New Living Translation, it says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So there's consequences in saying the wrong thing, saying too much or something. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to cook me some fried green tomatoes. Anybody else?
Ooh.
All right. They see y'all on tomorrow for the word.